Welcome to Cycle Breakers and Moneymakers, a podcast for women of color and first gen who are breaking generational cycles and glass ceilings by going places no one before them has ever gone. I'm your host, leadership coach, and eldest daughter of immigrants, Mariela De La Mora. I left a 16-year marketing career to create a multiple six-figure-a-year coaching business as a single mom. Each week, you'll learn how to build unshakable self-trust, become in demand, lead with confidence, and make more money by being more of who you are.
Hey, y'all. It has been a few weeks since I have done a solo episode, so I hope you enjoyed just sort of hearing my perspective and my story from like other folks' podcasts and hearing from my clients. There's definitely going to be more of those coming up, especially as we approach the Doors of Reclamation Mastermind opening on May 15th. It's just definitely been a season of just really like working inside of my business, really being with my reclamation clients, really looking at like, what do they need? What do we need in the curriculum? Like planning ahead, thinking about the next launch while I am kind of being in the present of this, you know, bigger business. So it's just been really fun. It's been very interesting. It's been growth for sure. And so I figured like, hey, why don't I just try something different with the podcast? And what better way to kind of showcase a little bit more about me and my story than when I'm not leading the conversation? Some of the best storytelling I think I've ever done that I love the most is just like not when I've spoken about myself, but just like when I kind of get caught off guard with questions. And I think that that's just the beautiful part about visibility and speaking engagements and being a guest on other people's podcasts and essentially what I call third-party credibility. I mean, I don't call it that. It's just called third-party credibility, which is a core concept in reclamation that I help my clients build and I, you know, really like encourage them to do, which is where folks can hear you share your story and your expertise on platforms that you don't own. Because it, number one, just really gives people a different insight into your brain and the way that you think. It also lends itself to like a level of credibility, which is why it's third-party credibility, because these other platforms, you know, obviously have to kind of align with you and sort of like create a space for you to be there, right? Like we kind of have to like earn those spots. And I just think that for anyone who is in a business that requires like trust and you want to accelerate that trust and relationships with people, we also want to be thinking about where can we share our expertise on platforms we don't own, not just in our own marketing, and to definitely complement that, but to do it from like a place that feels very reciprocal, where you're really going and adding value to other people's, you know, audiences as well. So anyways, that's been kind of my stint recently, is just sort of sharing the places that I've been like sharing my story so that you can kind of hear it from a different perspective. So those have been the recent episodes. I'm very excited for the ones that are to come. My client stories that are going to be coming up in April and May. So I'm so excited. Today, I wanted to talk to you all about something that I feel like I can't like shut up about it. And sometimes I'm like, okay, Mariela, like, why do you feel so passionate about this? But the reason I'm so passionate about it is because I've seen the results in my own clients, and it is literally the entire basis of like marketing and selling literally anything. And as you all know, I was a marketer. And so sometimes I think I have a hard time like just shutting up about being a marketer and just being like, well, there's advice that gets thrown around, but that's not necessarily like the full picture. And I think that that is, I try to do this in a useful way because I just think that sometimes in certain industries, we can get very like caught up in like what we don't realize is a bubble. And so I like to kind of help my folks to think about things in a bigger sense instead of kind of thinking of like, okay, I have to follow like someone's framework. It's more about like, how do we think about marketing? How do we think about what creates demand? What are the things that create demand in any circumstance, no matter what it is? There's just some fundamental things. So today, one of the things that I'm going to talk to you about is how a niche is not where demand is. A niche is not enough, that it's really from creating a niche. And here's what I mean by that. A niche on its own is just an idea for a product or service that we aren't sure people want yet. So it's just an idea, right? So sometimes you think of like anything that someone starts, you're like, I want to sell this. I want to do this. Great. In the larger business world, the question would be, how do you know that's a thing people will buy. And it has to be more than just like, well, because I just think so, or because I want to sell it, right? And while there's advice like pick a niche, create an offer, stick to your offer, believe in your offer, believe in yourself, those things can be helpful and they do have some truth to them. And it's also incomplete. There's more to that. And I love to coach from the perspective of like, I want to give you context so that you're learning this and you can apply it to anything that you sell because it's just literal marketing. And so it's not to say that a niche, you just have to pick a niche and you have to believe in it and you need to sell it, is not really fully reflective of how new products or services are actually brought into the world when you look across like the bigger world of business, like across industries. Like if you were to look at like tech startup accelerators, or if you were to look at how people are pitching to VC to be like, here is my business idea, please fund my business. Like that is the ultimate. I did that. I was a tech startup co-founder. Not everyone knows this, but I had a dating app. And for 2 years, we were building up an audience, building up like essentially product market fit, being like, will people buy this? Is this a viable product? And one thing that I quickly learned was like, nobody gave a shit that I thought it was a fun, cute idea. Nobody gave a shit that I thought people really wanted this in the dating app world. We felt very convicted. We were like, we think this should be out in the world. There's Tinder and people hate this about Tinder. And we were just, and then we realized they were like, yeah, that's cute. How do you know? Give us the research. How do you know that other people want this besides you? It was the most humbling experience I've ever had. It was so much work, but like in the best way that I really learned. And also as a marketer, you can't just be like, well, we just want to launch this thing. It's like, yeah, but how do you know? Because it needs to be validated. And so if you were to look at tech startup accelerators, or if you were to look at, you know, people pitching to VC, they would never ask you to pick a niche. They would say, look at the market and look at consumer behavior in that market. Look at consumer complaints in that market. And then let's see, is there actually an unmet need in the market? Is there actually a gap? Now, if this feels like, oh my gosh, this is just like so much, how do I know this? It's actually not that hard when you're selling something simple, like a service. Like if you're a consultant, or if you're a coach, or if you're a service provider, it isn't as complicated because we're not like creating some new tech platform, right? And even if you were, this still applies to you. But like, if you have a very simple business, it's actually very simple to find where the unmet needs are. And the reason that this is important is because there's already demand there. There's already demand there, right? So we're going to talk about that in this episode. I promise you it will not be that hard. You don't have to change what it is that you're doing. I just want you to think differently about creating demand. And rather than being like, I have to go fabricate it and convince people, it's like, how about I just look at what I'm already doing and I speak to that gap, and then the demand is already there, right? It's like putting a cup into a river versus, you know, like trying to like squeeze juice out of something. So in the larger world of business, demand comes from three things. One is being better than your competitors. Number two is being different from your competitors in a way that people are willing to pay for. Or number three, it's serving a gap in the market, which means you don't really have any strong competitors, if any at all. And serving a gap requires thought leadership, because thought leadership requires seeing what's missing, who's missing. You know, like what's being overlooked? Like what are people not seeing, right? And that comes from thinking about your people a lot. It comes from taking risks. It comes from creating something that doesn't exist because you see that it's needed and nobody else is doing it, right? And that can be scary because thought leadership can sometimes feel like you're looking around and you feel like alone. You're like, wait a minute, this is weird. Why am I here and no one else is here? Like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Does this make sense? How come I don't see anybody talking about this? Will people even understand or want this? And I want to normalize that and validate that because my clients all have that same experience. And there's a difference between just like making something up and being like, I don't think this like makes sense. You know, like I've heard this example of like underwater basket weaving as like the most extreme example of like a random made up thing. And it's like, I'm not saying go do that. It's like, is there a need? Because when you're going with the need, yes, that's very different from just like being very like random and creative, right? So my clients will often feel like this because they're just like, I don't actually have an example, quite. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's actually what it feels like to be a thought leader, right? It kind of just feels like you wandered into a room a little too early and like everybody else hasn't gotten there yet. And you're just sort of like, is this the right space? And you realize like, no, I just got here kind of early, you know? So that's not a bad thing. So in this episode, I'm going to share how to find an unmet need or gap, especially relative to what you already do if you already have a business, why demand exists in the gaps, and how gaps make customers less price sensitive. Number three, why solving for gaps solves for imposter syndrome and self-doubt because you truly have no competitors. And number four, how to stay in your lane and not second-guess yourself, especially when you're a thought leader, right? So number one, how do you find the unmet need or gap that you want to serve? Or most likely, if you're listening, or many of you listening already have a business, and this doesn't require you totally changing everything. It just means really looking at, like, this is kind of a way of answering, how are you different in a meaningful way? How are you different in a way people are willing to pay for, right? So you will know that something is an unmet need because your clients or discovery calls that you've been on or conversations in the rooms that you're in, people are actively experiencing the impact of this gap. That means they've already tried multiple things. Those things kind of partially helped a little bit, but they're still sort of sitting in the gap. Or they're just like, yeah, this is just the way it is, or this is just the way that I am, but they're kind of still sitting in the problem and the problem remains. And often that happens in populations that are unseen. So like marginalized people, people of color, sometimes like mothers, even like women as a whole group, sometimes like just being unseen. And I would say unseen by the people who sell to them, not unseen in general, but just unseen by the companies or the people who are creating solutions for them now. So another way you'll know something is unmet is like, has something changed in the world that has kind of made this a problem? So like in the pandemic, we saw a lot of business, like new businesses really take off and then other ones tank because the ones that blew up were the ones that were addressing like unmet needs that came about because the world stopped and people were home and schools had to close and people, you know, were home and all the things. Essentially, it just means someone is struggling with a problem and they've tried to solve it in other ways, but they've fallen short. And I'll give you some examples. Some of these are for my own clients. Number one, that is an unmet need is leadership coaching for people of color. The reason that it's not just a niche is because there's a gap. The gap is that general vanilla leadership coaching does not address the fact that there are systemic like inequities in the workplace that make people of color feel less safe to show up as leaders without being reprimanded. Now, if you're a person of color and I know this because I'm a leadership coach as well, and I've literally been told this by almost every single one of my clients, it's like, the reason I didn't work with just some white dude is because I would have had to explain my entire life to him to be like, it isn't just that I have a hard time being assertive. It's just that I was raised this way. And then in my work, I actually get reprimanded whenever I like disagree or whether all these things. So it's like leadership coaching for people of color is an unmet need because it is largely a white space. And the people who need to be coached differently need someone who sees those things, because if they have to explain everything about them, it feels very gaslighty. And it's just not very, you can't explain your whole existence. Like you can't just be like, hey, but like the workplace is actually like unequal and this is my experience. So that's why that's an unmet need. Another unmet need, this is also for one of my clients, is systems and operational consulting for neurodivergent entrepreneurs. The gap in that is that neurodivergent people are visual learners and verbal processors, and they need systems to be built with that in mind. The person who I know who does this, Ariana, literally heard this from multiple people, including myself, right? So that is a gap in the market. Another gap in the market, also one of my clients, nervous system regulation for entrepreneurs specifically. The gap is that it is between therapy and business coaching. So you can go to therapy, you can go to nervous system and somatic therapy, and you can have a business coach. But someone who actually helps you feel safe to take actions in your business is an unmet need. And that's why this client is doing so phenomenally well right now. So this is what I mean about going in where like the demand already is, but that required listening, being like, oh, this is interesting. I'm seeing that there's a real need here. Like this is coming up a lot. Finally, another unmet need that I want to share, that this was a company I discovered during the pandemic. This is not my client, was job matching for high-ranking professional mothers who don't want full-time jobs. I discovered this company because when I was in the workforce, I almost went to work like with them. And that was because the gap that exists is that women that are in these higher ranking jobs, typically people who have like more than 10 years of experience, feel the most pressure to choose between motherhood and their careers. Because typically by the time you get there, you are, you know, working really long hours. It's very, very, very demanding. And sometimes like you just feel like you have to choose. And so this company called The Mom Project exists to match up companies with mothers who are like badass and so great at what they do and have all this experience. And they just want to work like 25 hours a week, 30 hours a week, whatever. They want to be home with their kids. So it's such an unmet need. And it's not that hard. If you just look around, you're just like, oh, I wish this existed. And like, oh, like where do people think they need to choose? Where are people dissatisfied? Like go and innovate in those spaces. And I promise you there will be more demand there because you're actually just looking around and listening, right? So that is the answer to how to find an unmet need or gap. You really just have to look around at like, what's missing? Where are people dissatisfied? What have you heard? All the things, right? The other thing is, why does demand exist there? And how does solving for a gap make customers less price sensitive? I talk about this in reference to selling a five-figure offer, right? When you're selling a five-figure offer, you can't just be anybody. Like you can't just be selling any old thing. Like it needs to be something that it's like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about this. I never heard about this before. Nobody else is doing this. Like nobody else is doing this. So naturally, that's you have no competitors, right? The reason the demand exists there, and I'll kind of like explain a little bit about like how this works, is that when you solve for a gap, the gap is only there because there's a low supply of solutions or no supply of solutions. So by default, the demand is there. And when you don't do that and you just pick a thing and then you try to go sell it, you can maybe sell it, but it becomes a nice to have. It becomes like a, okay, let me try this. But that you typically will not have like brand loyalty. It may be a little more of like an impulsive buy or people will buy it. But then like the minute stuff gets hard or another priority comes up, they're like, actually, I can't do this anymore. Or I actually don't want to do this anymore. And if they do buy it, they're not willing to pay as much because they just don't see it as essential. And in the market, this is known as like price elasticity. So think of it like price as a rubber band. The more people think they can do without it because there's hell options and you're not really that different or they don't perceive that it's that different or it's not that needed, it's like a stretchy rubber band. They're like, it could be worth this today. It could be worth less tomorrow. It could be worth we don't really know, right? But when it's an essential thing and nobody else is doing it and people need it and there's literally like, I don't know where I would go if I wasn't getting the solution from here, it's inelastic. And that means it doesn't matter whether, let's say, the person's doing well financially or not, or the market's doing well or not. That's where you'll start to see certain businesses, they don't struggle as much, even like during an economic recession. Because we've been hearing a lot of people talk about like the economy and the economy affecting blah, blah, blah. But what I've seen and what actually is true is that even when there's a recession, the businesses that still do well are the ones that have like inelastic, they're inelastic. So it just means like people are still going to pay for the thing because they want it. And there aren't a lot of other like places that they can go for that thing. So you're not going to be the first thing on the list that people, you know, don't want to buy anymore. So that's an example of like, why does demand exist in the gap? So low supply of solutions, no supply of solutions means the demand is there. Second of all, when that is the case, supply and demand is what affects pricing. So again, I feel like I'm giving all a marketing lesson, but like this is important because if you're in business, you kind of need to know how marketing in business works regardless of what you're selling. I don't care if you're selling freaking shoelaces or if you're selling, you know, a service or if you're selling or if you're, you know, like one of my clients right now, like creating a tech app and going and pitching to VC, like you really need to know how to do this. But the simplest way I would say is if you have a service-based business and you're just selling it online, simple, right? But this is that means you're going to kill it. Like you're going to do so much better because you know this. Now I want to share a little bit about like, there's so many benefits, but why focusing on what's missing? Why focusing on unmet needs and focusing on the gaps actually helps you feel like there's nobody like you in the market. I would say that it goes a very long way towards like curing, I don't like the word curing, but it's like really helping people overcome imposter syndrome and self-doubt because you truly don't have any competitors, right? So this is why like in my mastermind and reclamation, we talk a lot about like thought leadership and it's like, well, what are thought leaders seeing and doing that's different from everybody else? Like, what are they seeing? And when you're comparing yourself, it means like you see yourself as the same. And I want you to be like, it doesn't matter what anybody's doing. There's nobody that's doing quite like what I'm doing. And that even if you had a client that was like, I'm trying to decide between you and this person, and if they went with the other person, the answer would be, oh, that makes perfect sense. If you want that thing, you should go to that person. But if you want this, that's the best in this area, then you would come to me. I think that that's just so powerful because I think, especially as women of color, like we are so used to having to compare ourselves. And this isn't just in our head. There's a lot of like reinforcement around like there's only room for one of us. I think, you know, even if we think about it, even in the workforce, we would see a lot of that where it's like, oh, diversity is like one person in a department. And so we don't think about the fact that there's like room for all of us to thrive and all of us to succeed. And so we just, I think by proxy, like even when you're so freaking brilliant, like this is some of my clients, I want to scream at them that they're so freaking good. And they're just like, yeah, but like this other person is doing this. And like, I just don't really know. And it's just like, oh my gosh, girl, like, do you realize? And but like better than me coaching them is being like, who else does this? Let's really own it. Let's really own your difference, like your thought leadership, because when you can really see it, it literally does not matter what anybody else is doing. And that affects how you show up. It shows up within your conviction. It shows up in your confidence. It shows up as clarity. It shows up as all of those things. And that helps you sell more anyways. That also just affects how you sell. So that's why I'm like, look where everybody else is looking. If everybody's looking right, I don't want you to, this is the problem. You'll be looking left. Oh my God, I'm over here and I'm recording. So you can't see. You're over here looking left and then you see everybody looking right. And then you're like, let me take my eye off and look right. And you're like, well, maybe I'm wrong for looking left. No, they're all over there competing in the same arena. Like be over here, stay in your lane, right? Which brings me to my next point, number four, how to stay in your own lane to not second guess your thought leadership. Oh my gosh, if I could snatch some of your phones from your hand, I would do this for you. But one of the things I would say is only listen to your audience, not other people in your industry. Unless it is your coach, then listen to your coach. But just listen to your own community, to your own clients, to your own community, not to other people in your industry. I have not seen that turn out very well. It is just like, oh, but this person is doing this, or oh, this other person is doing this. So like, I can't do it because it's kind of similar, right? And it's just like, no, it's not. You don't need to listen to everybody. If you hire a coach, listen to your coach. That's why you hired them. But otherwise, the people who make the most money are listening to their community. They're listening to what people say on sales calls. Even the people who say no, they're like, that's so interesting. Why did they think this? Why did they ask this? Oh, it's so interesting that they think this. Oh, why is this hard? Oh, why is this client having a hard time with this? Oh, what did they do before they came to me? Okay, they tried this and then they tried this. Okay, all right. And then ended up making them come to me? Like the people who are the most curious about their audience makes the most money because you are solving for the things that are actually happening, the things that are actually saying, rather than switching up what you're doing because somebody else is doing that. You have no business over there. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know who they're serving. It doesn't even matter if it's like the same audience. It's like not your business. It's literally not your business, right? So I say this with so much love, but I say this because I serve the most freaking brilliant people. I know that I am biased, but oh my God, if you are in the room in reclamation and you hear them, like the experience, the quality of thought, the caliber of person, and if I could just be like, let me have you see yourself the way that I see you. But instead of me doing that, I help them tap into their thought leadership. I help them tap into their thought leadership because then they're like, damn, nobody's doing this. This is needed. This is important. And I know that it's needed and important because I'm listening to my people. This is what they're saying. I'm innovating in this space. Nobody else is doing this, right? I'm on one right now. I'm using all the hand gestures. So that's how you stay in your lane. Also, I honestly, if you need to unfollow people in your industry or unfollow people with the same quote unquote title as you, just freaking unfollow them or mute them. Just mute them. If it makes you second guess yourself, just mute. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you don't like them. It just means maybe in this season, you are rebuilding your own belief and trust in the fact that there's nobody like you. And if it takes you out of that, just mute. Because the most brilliant thing you can do is just stay in your little bubble Look at your people, listen to your people, solve for them. You don't need to look outside of that, right? Unless you've hired your coach, and then you can ask them for coaching on the things that you actually need. To close this out, I want to leave you with some questions, okay? If you are not sure or you would like help figuring out how to take something, maybe you've already been selling it and you're already successful. Like many of my clients, you've already been selling it. You've already been selling it, right? But how can we refine it and just shift our messaging a little bit so that we are truly coming across with thought leadership and saying something no one else is saying that is meaningful, useful, and in demand? So questions to ask yourself. In what way might you have created what you once needed? What did you try and what did you do before that did not work? What were those things? So what was missing from those approaches? Speak on that more. Or what journey did your client take before coming to you? And was it that those things didn't work? Or is it that they served their purpose and now you're on the next part of their journey? And that's important to know, client journey, because sometimes the gap is that they were on a bridge, that bridge ran out, and then there's another side of a chasm, like a, you know, thing they're trying to get to, and there's nothing in the middle. So that's also a gap in the market. There is a step for the beginning of that journey, and there's something they want at the end of that journey, but there's something in the middle that they need, right? A good example of that is my client that is the somatic and nervous system coach for entrepreneurs, right? Therapy is the beginning of the bridge. Business coach is the end of the bridge. And you as the gap can help them to either get there or alongside another solution, like alongside business coaching, for example. So that's a perfect example of a gap. What journey did your client take before coming to you? And was it that those things didn't work, or did they just serve their purpose and now they're on the next part of their journey? Ask questions like that in the discovery calls. Just be like, what have you already tried? Kind of tell me a little bit. That usually comes up in the discovery process. The client will tell you that, but it's very important. I always want to know, like, what's been their journey up until this point? What brought them here, right? Speak on that. And finally, to help you, I said this to my clients recently and everybody laughed. At this, at least I think. But the question is, what is the most safe vanilla-ass advice you have heard in your industry that you disagree with? Where you're like, actually, is it really not for my people, right? So anytime if that's come up, like use that as a gauge to show you, okay, that's hella vanilla in general, but that doesn't actually apply to me or doesn't apply to my people. Or equally, it might be that you hear something that triggers you. Whoo, sometimes this will happen. You'll hear something and someone will say something and you're just like, I just don't think so. Like that, I don't think that's true. Or like, there's something about that, that like rubs you the wrong way. But I always say, let that reaction let you get curious. Let's get curious about your reaction. Sometimes what that will show us when we get triggered by something that someone says in like our industry, it may just show us an insecurity about ourselves. Sometimes it's about us, but other times it shows you like, actually, I just think that I have a very deeply different set of values or a deeply different set of perspective. And I think I'm not speaking about that more. So sometimes our own suppressed opinions and thoughts will come up in the form of us being triggered by other people. So sometimes I'm like, well, what does that say about you when you're triggered by somebody? Is it that they're doing something you're not giving yourself permission to do? Or is it that it's actually highlighting a very different perspective or way of thinking that you are not expressing? And that is telling you something as well, right? So next steps, if you want to write this out and figure out what could my thought leadership, what might this look like, is as you think about those unmet needs, what result are you offering in response to that? What is the result that is different that's in response to that? And how do you offer it differently and better? How is your solution different? How is it better? And even better if you say, and how is it different and better because of what you know, like your skills, and who you are, your lived experiences. So like, how is you and your story allow you to meet this need differently and better? And how does the things you know help you meet this need differently and better? This is what I mean by being in demand, by being more of who you are. When I say this in my marketing, I'm not just like being cute and fluffy, like being in demand by being more of who you are. So by being in, this is what I mean, by being in reclamation, you're going to think differently about business and you're going to think differently about marketing because it is based on like literally 2 decades of me selling everything, including the most boring things. And selling coaching consulting services is to me the most exciting and easiest thing, right? And this is what I mean when I say you don't need to post more. Because it's what you say that it's like, damn, I never like that. Literally nobody else is saying that, right? This is what I mean when I say you don't need to post more. This is what I mean when I say creating demand peacefully, because you're just putting your cup in the river that's flowing versus going and trying to scrounge for it. This is what I mean when I say that thought leaders have the most demand, because they're looking at what's missing. They're listening. They're looking at who's missing, who's overlooked, what's needed. Thought leaders aren't just saying things to say this for demand. They're also like, I want to be the best at what I do and I want to listen and advocate for my people. So if you listen to this episode and you're like, okay, now what? The now what is that the doors to reclamation open on May 15th. And I want you to get ready. Okay. The investment is 10K pay in full or 7 payments of 1500. We kick off in late July, like the kickoff calls, the calls start in late July. I want you to take this time, go to my website, visit the reclamation page, go through it, look at my clients' success stories, look at who they are, look at what they're saying, because those stories are going to be representative of what the program is about, who is in the program, what we value, what you can expect. There are just back-to-back, like booked out stories, and they are across the board being like, I trust myself more. I feel more peaceful in my business. I am kinder to myself. I don't feel like I need to like recover, you know, as much. Like I'm not losing my identity in my business anymore. Like that's on there. I want you to go and look and really just think about what do you need in this next season of your life and business, and what room do you want to be in? This room right now is all first gen and women of color. Mostly daughters of immigrants. They are so exceptional. It is a room that is just overflowing with support, like the peer coaching that is happening. It is so generous with support. And that is not on accident. Like we have created a room on purpose that supports one another, that trusts one another. There are relationships built in this room. This didn't just happen. We created the entire experience from when people enroll to how they got to know one another to how we're connecting them with one another. Like it is such a generous, wonderful, high thinking, amazing room. I absolutely love this room. And they're the group that you're going to join when you enroll in May. You are going to join them in late July when our calls start. And I want you to take the time to sit and think about it, because I know that choosing a mastermind and choosing a coach is a really big deal. And many of you and many of my clients have had experiences when they come to me, they've almost all had experiences where like they just didn't feel good in the container that they were in. They felt like they were doing something wrong. They were told they needed to be different. They felt like they couldn't get the recipe right. It was just a lot of like outsourcing of themselves, and they didn't know why they were being asked to do what they were doing, like all the things. And I think everybody has their own philosophy. And the sort of coach that like, I want you, and you will trust yourself more with every interaction. You are going to understand why. You're going to be better at making decisions. You're going to know why you're making those decisions. When things go quote unquote wrong, you're not going to beat yourself up like you did before. It's going to feel like I can do this because me feeling safe and me feeling, you know, clear and grounded and worthy and all the things is less dependent on what comes up, because I know that I can handle anything and I have my people. Like this is the mastermind you join to find your people. I also know people have joined masterminds because they want to find their people, and either their people aren't there, or even if they were, the community isn't created necessarily in a way for people to actually build those relationships. That is not that mastermind. This mastermind, you will find your people. So go to the page on my website, read their stories. By the time this airs or shortly after, we're going to also have a testimonials page that has video testimonials for my clients. So stay tuned. If that's not live, that's probably not going to be live by the time this episode goes live, but that is coming. Get on the wait list. You can get on the wait list on my website, mariella.delamora.com/reclamation. You're going to be dropped into an 11 email welcome that is going to introduce you to the program, you know, what to expect, what past clients have achieved, all those things. And I'm telling you this now so that you can take that time to sit with it and make your decision. Or if you're not sure, just schedule the call with me, right? If you don't need to be sure to schedule the call, you don't need to be sure to schedule the call. We've got time. My calendar's not open yet. but it will be. We've got, as of the time this episode comes out, around 6 weeks. And I want you to take the time to really sit and think about what it is that you need and ask me questions. You can send me, well, DMs. I'll do my best. I'm not always the best at responding, but I will do my best. Just make sure that anything that you're thinking about, like, make sure that you go and you ask that to me. So I'm available. And that's it. I hope that this episode really helped you think things differently, think about what's different, like, possible for you. And this is what I mean by, like, it doesn't have to take a really long time, but I think that it takes something different. And that's really what Reclamation is about, is really just looking at, like, how do we extract your own thought leadership and also really truly see yourself differently in business and build up that self-trust and that confidence that you know that you can make decisions and really truly be unlike anybody in your industry, allow yourself to be seen, allow yourself to be supported, feel safe being more visible, feel safe just taking the actions that you need to take in your business. So that is it. I will see you next week and I'll talk to y'all soon.